April 17th, 2026. You're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Matthew chapter 16, looking at verses 13 through 20, part 2 of yesterday's message titled, The Success of Christ's Church.
You have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and you should celebrate God's blessedness to you. This is wonderful news. Who do you say I am? No, not them. Who do you say? He looks right at us. Who do you say? May Peter's confession be our confession, believed unto eternal life. The church will prevail.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
Us to a new level of commitment to who you are following, if you understand it, doesn't it? You can't just be loosely connected to this. You can't just cruise in and out on Sundays and come and be loosely connected to it when you're pressed with this kind of question. Who do you think you're following? Who do you think you're involved with? What do you think this all is? You see, it's pushing on this point. It presses us to wrestle with, who have I really come to? Who am I really professing if I don't even understand this? And why would knowing him be so important for the mission? Why would it be? See, this is crucial for Christianity. And they reply, well, some say John the Baptist. And others say Elijah. And others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. See, I think this is important because, in general, mass confusion remained among the peoples over the identity of Jesus. And isn't that just true today? If you went out and talked and surveyed our neighborhoods and said, who do you think of Jesus? Who do you think he is? You get a variety of answers, but very few would say, I'll come back to it. Among the people, he was considered in general to be a good person, a great prophet. But he was not known. He was not understood. So Jesus comes back at them. No. But who do you say that? It's so personal, isn't it? I want to know from you. Maybe one of the most important questions of all for us in our Christianity. What do you think you're a part of? Who do you really believe he is? What do you think of him? And at this point, we have a grand moment in the gospel. I think it's the center of the book in all discipleship, in training in discipleship, as you understand what we're aiming for in discipleship. Peter answers, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This becomes the climax in the book of Matthew. Listen to it. We've heard it, but listen to it. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Do you notice Christ is drawing that out? He wants a profession of faith from you. A profession of faith that grows in understanding. Let it not confuse you. To say Son of God was not some kind of, as we understand it, biological thing. We get confused about this. We think, this doesn't make kind of a lot of sense to me. Like, Son of God, that must mean he has some kind of beginning and that he's created. This is how we generally will think of Jesus. The Jews understood completely what the claim Son of God meant. It wasn't confusing for them. They wanted to kill him for this. Because he, being a man, made himself, now hear me, John 10, equal with God. They got it. equal in power, equal in dignity, in essence with the Father. That this being the divine Son of God, unique in every way as God's Son, he took on a humanity, but he is the eternal Son of God. And Jesus would say things like, my Father and I have been working all along. My Father and I. Who says that? Peter was saying here and confessing for a minute, you are the Christ. You are the one whom all the scriptures are all about. You are the hope of humanity. You are the one all the law and the prophets looked for. You are truly divine. You what a moment. Have you considered who's come to you, who is speaking to you, and who came to lay down his life for you? This changes everything. There's no longer a loose attachment if this is what I believe in and this is true. There's no longer questions that remain about him. In other words, that I can question his identity. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. And Peter seems to have had a real moment of finally, now this is so important, understanding this, believing this. It's at this point that Jesus gives us an indication of what really happened here. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Jesus, again, is celebrating a blessedness that's come upon him, not because he figured this out, okay? Nobody just figures this out. Nobody has the ability to just figure this out about Jesus. The blessing is that somebody comes to believe this. It's the evidence of the blessing. Jesus is saying here, you have been blessed by God to understand this. And that's exactly what Jesus follows up with here. Listen, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You didn't have this just given to you by people. It's not even Pastor Gordon or a pastor or those, when they teach this, that gives this to somebody. You understand that? It's the Father. The Heavenly Father gives you this to believe about his Son. Now, I don't know if we appreciate the significance of this. Wrapped up in this is election and the sovereign work of God. But if you have come to believe this about Jesus and professed him, that is evidence of the Heavenly Father's blessing on your life. I can't underestimate the significance of what I just said. And I don't want you to underestimate the significance of what I just said. It is important. Jesus loves profession of faith. A profession that knows him. A profession that believes in him. That's evidence of God's divine blessing on your life. You can't be a Christian without a profession. You are not a Christian without a profession. And Christ wants it from your mouth and your heart. This is Romans 10. Confess in your mouth and believe in your heart about Jesus. You will be saved. Remember what Jesus said? This is eternal life. That they might know you and the one whom you have sent. He wants you to know him, to understand him. What Jeremiah said, God takes delight not in all these other things that people take delight in. You know what God takes delight in? When his people know him and understand him. It's a big deal for him. You are blessed of God today if you are able to do this. Human abilities didn't give this to you. Your intuitions, your great intellects. I mean, if this were based on intellect, I mean, look at Harvard scholars who couldn't understand this. It's his electing work in your life. Now, The natural default is just to never make a profession like this. That's the natural default. That's why this is so important. And so notice what Christ says in following up. Now here comes the big verse today. And I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. That is such a beautiful, beautiful statement. A promise. Now, Roman Catholicism, you're seeing this play out right now, has butchered this verse, and you're seeing the leaven of the Pharisees play out right in front of you. They have given this glory to a pope. And so they took this verse and they built their whole doctrine on it, and they said that Peter is the rock, and they have created the idea that there is an unbroken succession of popes that the church is built upon. That's their whole doctrine. So they've made the pope the head of the church. Think about that. Would you really get that here? Especially from this guy, Peter? Jesus has been concerned about what? Doctrine. What you confess. What you believe. It's on that rock. What is that rock? It has everything to do with what Peter just said. From out of Peter's mouth. So Peter's important in this. We don't want to disregard Peter in this. But it's that confession. Did you notice? It's what he confessed. So that what Christ is saying here is that upon this understanding, upon this profession, upon this creed, my whole church will be built. What do you understand about the leaven of the Pharisees? They were agents in trying to undermine his identity and bring in a false doctrine. So what is the success of the kingdom, says Jesus? Let's make sure we understand this then. What is the success of the kingdom of God? What evidences the church's success? Is it, think about this, is it that we take power over all the nations? Is it that the church builds big buildings? Is it that we provide a great amount of entertainment for people through this life? Is it that we become a food bank to the world? Is it that we bring in the kingdom with so much power that it conquers all the Romans and all our enemies in this life? What is the success of the church? You ready? It's when one of our young people stands up here and says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I will be a follower of him. Is that too small for you? It's when the adults grow in that. It's really believed. And people are knowing Christ. That evidences the power and the success of Christ's church. The success of the church will be seen in this confession, in this profession of the Messiah, that Jesus is the one, the eternal Son of God who came to redeem his people from their sins. And did you notice the promise here? The gates of hell won't prevail against that. Now understand this. Our view of the church is so pathetic, so weak. We don't think anything's going on here. We just think that we're, you know, taking it on the chin all the time, and there's no real victory for us here. And I'm not advancing some kind of post-millennial triumphalism, but Jesus describes this as a conquest. We're not on the defensive. Jesus describes hell as backed up here. He describes hell as having a grip on people's lives, and bars surround them, and Satan is trying to keep those bars around them. That's what Satan's trying to do. He's just trying to hold on to people with all he has. What is the gate of hell in Jewish thought? Well, it meant the realm of the dead. So, Job, have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness, or Isaiah 38? I said in the middle of my days, I must depart. I am consigned to the gates of Sheol for the rest of my years. He's describing the realm of the dead. It's the whole predicament of the human race. We're under the sentence of death. And the gate of hell here is describing the passageway in this life that people are walking into all the time. Into the grave, into hell, and into judgment. That you don't come back out from. And I thought, well, how could I try to capture this? Well, I don't know if it was really the intent when the Eagles gave Hotel California. The last thing I remember, I was running for the door. I had to find the passage back to the place I was before. Relax, said the nightman. We're programmed to receive, but you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. Most take that as people trying to get out and escape from hell and come back to the world of the living. Whatever the case, what did Jesus say? Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many going in. You know what's happening? People are entering that. We're shadows and dust, headed for the grave, headed for judgment. And you have the church all wrong. I do. It's the body of Christ, and you think it's weak? You think you're losing? You think nothing really glorious is going on here? Through faith, says Jesus, people are being delivered from this. And we're on the offensive. Not Satan. See, we used to say in basketball, you can't win a game just playing defense. We've got a really good offense. Our offense is impressive. It's attacking. It's plundering. It's plundering death. It's victory. The victory is this: whoever believes in me, though he dies, he'll live. There it is. That's a victory. We prevail. So to close it out, Jesus ties this directly to the mission. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Here's what Jesus is saying. This is really amazing program. As I take this gospel to the ends of the earth, and think of where it's come today, Escondido, I always say, if it got to Escondido, that's an amazing thing. When this confession is believed, when this profession is made, we have the extraordinary blessing to declare something. Declare something that heaven is saying is true. Now listen, it is not Pastor Gordon. We're declaring something that heaven is saying is true. When you believe this, when you turn to Christ, when you confess your sins and you believe in him as the Son of God, the Messiah to deliver, the one God sent to deliver you from your sins, the true and eternal God, when you believe that about him, the church declares something. The church declares this: you are a child of heaven, and heaven is unlocked for you. You are saved. You are forgiven. But we have the authority to proclaim something else. If you refuse this truth, if you turn away from him and reject him as the Messiah, we declare the kingdom of heaven is shut to you, and you are in the bars headed right for hell. John 20, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any of them, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness, it is withheld." See, this is the other side of the message. These are the most holy things. And this is why Heidelberg says, what are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? We'll close on this. The preaching of the holy gospel and church discipline. By these two, the kingdom of heaven is open to believers and closed to unbelievers. How is the kingdom of heaven open and closed? By the preaching of the gospel. According to the command of Christ, the kingdom of heaven is opened when it is proclaimed and publicly testified to each and every believer that God has really forgiven all their sins. Did you hear that? God has really done this for you. For the sake of Christ's merits, as often as they, by true faith, accept the promise of the gospel, the kingdom of heaven is closed when it is proclaimed and testified to all unbelievers and hypocrites that the wrath of God and eternal condemnation rests on them as long as they do not repent. According to this testimony of the gospel, God will judge both in this life and in the life to come. That's the ministry. Now you see how wonderful the encouragement is in this then? What you believe matters. And you are blessed today by the Father in heaven if you have come to profess and believe this about Christ. The whole church is built on this truth. Death will not prevail. Life will. People who believe this, he wants you to know all your sins are forgiven. And to those who don't, yes, heaven is shut to you. So you should repent and believe today while you still hear his voice. I close with this question. Do you know who you're following today? You know who you have to do with? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The bars of death and sin in the grave have been stormed in your life. And you have overcome by the blood of the Lamb when you believe this. And you should celebrate God's blessedness to you. This is wonderful news. So, again, I ask the question. Who do you say I am? No, not them. Not them. Who do you say? He looks right at us. Who do you say? May Peter's confession be our confession, believed unto eternal life. The church will prevail. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this truth, and thank you for showing us your Son and giving us to believe a gift of faith. Help us, for we are weak. May we embrace these truths with confidence, and may we see, Lord, how the victory is won through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Thank you for him. And thank you that death in the grave is not the victor. Jesus is. And in him, we have been given eternal life. Bless us with encouragement. And thank you, Lord, for these words to us and this gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio. We hope you'll join us again next time to hear more of God's Word from Pastor Chris. Until then, God bless.